Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 12 of Revelation chapter 10. And we're continuing to look at verse 7 of Revelation 10, which says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets." And we saw that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, that this is pointing to the third woe, which is also known as the sounding of the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet sound is the third woe. And it is the last trumpet, as we read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. It says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now this is, of course, relating to the statement in Revelation 10:7, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. That relates to verse 6's statement at the end of that verse, that there should be time no longer. It's the end of the world. Now, what we have to be careful with in understanding is that the seventh trumpet, the third woe, as well as the fifth and sixth trumpet and the first and second woe, all sound during Judgment Day, at the beginning of Judgment Day, and throughout the prolonged period of judgment. In other words, on May 21, 2011, judgment began upon the world, and the woes, the three woes, came upon the inhabitants of the earth. The last three trumpets sounded or began to sound. They began to sound on May 21 and May 22nd and May 23rd and every day since. It's as, remember, God views this entire period of time as Judgment Day. One day, singular, yet it covers or spans, there's an excellent possibility of 1600 days total. The Lord also views this time period as a moment. When we think of that last trumpet, and it's at the last trumpet that there is the resurrection of the dead, as 1 Corinthians 15 is telling us, it's at the last trump, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Well, that is going to occur at the very end of this period of Judgment Day, on the 10,000th day, for instance, or the 1600th day since May 21. It will happen in the day of judgment, the prolonged day, but it happens at the very end of this time period, and then the dead are raised, and those alive and remaining upon the earth are raptured, all in that final day, according to how God speaks of it, yet some 4 years after May 21, 2011. And we also should notice in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says, "In a moment," And again, as can be shown in the Old Testament especially, the language of in a moment is a reference to the entire period of Judgment Day. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The word at, it gives us a certain idea that as soon as the sound is made, that's when this is happening. But actually, the Greek word translated here as at is the very same word that's translated as in that we just read, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then it's the same word, and it should be translated in the last trump. And the translators did not translate it that way because that doesn't sound as good as at the last trump, but in the last trump is more accurate. The trumpet sounds, begins to sound May 21, 2011, and continues to sound throughout this period of Judgment Day. And then on the last day comes the resurrection of the dead. And so that's what verse 52 goes on to describe. And therefore, within the period of sounding, the resurrection takes place. And then we have no difficulty. We have no discrepancy of any kind, nothing that contradicts anything else in the Bible. Everything fits and harmonizes, and that's what Revelation 10:7 is speaking of. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, or when he shall sound, the mystery of God should be finished, or shall be finished. And we were discussing yesterday, or in our last study, the mystery of God concerning the hidden truth of the Bible. And we saw in the parable of Matthew 13 what Jesus said. Well, let's look at a parallel statement, a parallel gospel account to Matthew 13. And this is in Mark 4. In Mark 4, it says, beginning in verse 9, after Christ has spoken the parable of the sower, the one sowing the seed, Mark 4, verse 9, and he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And then verse 13 says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? You see, the Lord is pointing to this parable as an example of understanding all parables. And it's a mistake for someone to think, well, then this is just helpful information. Whenever Jesus would speak a parable, he's giving us insight how to understand that situation. No, he is the Word made flesh. And without a parable, he did not speak. He is giving us insight into how to understand the whole Bible. The Bible is basically a parable, the whole Bible, in the sense that the whole Bible contains hidden truth. From Genesis through Revelation and all throughout, God has hidden truth. Not only in clearly parabolic statements, but in simple statements as well, such as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's hidden truth. As all sorts of people misunderstand that statement and think that Christ loves everyone. He died for the whole world. But that idea is not true at all. Jesus did not die for everyone. God therefore hid truth in what many would think is just a simple, plain statement. And yet it's not spoken of as a parable. Well, let's go to a couple of verses where Christ's words concerning it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom, and to them it is not given, can be seen in action. That is, that when we look at these verses, we'll see, we'll quickly see how many have misunderstood them, and it is only the Lord's people who properly understand what is being said, because they have been given that understanding. These verses are found in Romans chapter 11. Let's go to Romans 11, and in verse 25, it says, "For I would not, brethren," and brethren is a key phrase where God is addressing the true believer, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." Now, as soon as the word mystery is used, we should all, the reader, should be on guard that what's going to follow is a parable. Why? Well, just from following that word in the Bible. Remember, in both Matthew 13 and in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, "It is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." And that had to do with parables. And now here, that very same word is being used, and God is taking care. "I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." It's given unto you to know the mystery. So don't be ignorant. The word ignorant would mean not understand or lack of understanding. And then it goes on to say, "Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so," or in this manner, "and so all Israel shall be saved." Now there it is. You see what God has done, and do you see how important it is that we understand the whole Bible as the mystery of God? The whole Bible contains hidden truth. We have to look for the deeper spiritual meaning everywhere in the Bible, not just in the parables that Jesus spoke, but everywhere. And here God is speaking to the true believer and saying, "Don't be ignorant. I would not, it's not my will that you be ignorant of this particular mystery that has to do with the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles." And the fullness would mean all of the Gentiles that God intends to save. And the word Gentile means nation. The fullness of the nations be come in, the fullness of God's elect that are found out there amongst the nations of the world. And then it says, "in so," or "in this manner, all Israel shall be saved." And that's where the mystery is found. As God's people then, who were put on alert to look for a figurative or spiritual meaning, they search the Bible and they realize, oh, God has people from every nation and tribe and tongue, that they are the seed that was promised to Abraham, not the physical blood descendants. They're not counted for the seed, but the elect are counted for the seed through Christ. And God speaks of a spiritual Israel, those that have their hearts circumcised through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved them through his atoning work from the foundation of the world. And the true believer then quickly understands what it means that the fullness of the nations or the Gentiles come in, and in that manner all spiritual Israel is saved. But on the other hand, the natural-minded man, the natural-minded theologian, and the churches that follow the doctrine that you must understand something literally and plainly and take it no other way. You can't have any other meaning other than the plainly stated meaning. They develop a theology. They develop doctrine that God intends to save the Jews. God intends to save national Israel. It says it right here. All Israel shall be saved. And you see, to them it was not given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God on this particular point. And it results in Christians making many trips to the Holy Land. Of course, it's no longer the Holy Land. God, when he abandoned national Israel, the people of Israel no longer became the holy people, and that no longer was any holy land. God had nothing further to do with Israel, and yet the idea persists mainly upon a misunderstanding of this parabolic language, of this hidden truth. It's hidden from them. Their eyes are blinded. They cannot perceive. They cannot see. They cannot hear it. And therefore, they come up with completely wrong doctrine. Well, you see, there's an example we all, can see happening in our present time, you'll find individuals that will insist that God will save the Jews because they were ignorant of the mystery. Well, let's also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians 2, in verses 6 and 7, it says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." You see, this is what the child of God speaks. We speak the hidden wisdom, the wisdom of God in a mystery. The true believer speaks of Judah representing the church, of Babylon representing the world, of the king of Babylon typifying Satan. We speak of Babylon's fall as picturing the end of the Great Tribulation and the beginning of Judgment Day. We speak of the king of the Medes and the Persians, Cyrus, as a type of Christ. We speak that, according to Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, and that is referring to Satan in the church, then you are to flee to the mountains, which is a command to come out of the church. And it is all gibberish. It is all as though we're speaking with another tongue or stammering lips to the people that profess to be God's people. They say they're Christian, yet to them it is not given to understand the mysteries of God. Therefore, they don't understand the book of Jeremiah, the entire book, and they don't understand much of Isaiah, and they don't understand Daniel or Ezekiel, and they don't understand what Matthew 24 is talking about and why we keep insisting that the church age is over. After all, wasn't that completed back in 70 AD? You see, the natural tendency of their thinking, it goes to the plain statements of the scripture that they're reading, and therefore they are blinded. God has hidden just tremendous amounts of truth from them. Of course they don't understand that God sealed up the word until the time of the end, and then began to open the scriptures, and they don't understand Christ slain as the Lamb from the foundation of the world. What are you talking about? Well, just read the gospel accounts. Here's Jesus going to the cross. They just fail to comprehend. They're ignorant of the mysteries of God's kingdom. They don't understand that hell has to do with the grave, and that the judgment of God upon sin is annihilation. What do you mean? It speaks of hell here in the Bible. And certainly there is a place called hell. They insist. They don't understand God's revealing of truth through the historical precedent of the flood of Noah's day. They fail to grasp the idea that God could say to Noah, yet 7 days and I'll bring the flood, and then relate that one day is 1,000 years. And remember what God says there in 2 Peter 3. What did he say in verse 8? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Just as he said in Romans 11, brethren, be not ignorant of this mystery. It's similar language. Don't be ignorant. That is, you should understand, true believer. And it also means that the rest, that it's not given to them to understand. Have no expectation that they will understand. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, God doesn't use the word mystery itself in that verse, but he could have, because that's exactly what he's talking about. A hidden truth that identifies with the statement to Noah, yet 7 days, and I'll bring the flood and destroy everything that has the breath of life outside of the ark. And that ark typifies the Lord Jesus Christ, and entering in is picturing the safety of salvation. But you see, in order to understand that, you have to understand the mystery. You have to understand the hidden way that God has written the Bible and used figures and types to represent all kinds of hidden truth. And yet they do not understand it. And so they did not understand the 7,000 year timeline from the flood occurring on May 21, 2011. And then God brings about a day of judgment that is spiritual in nature. And of course, obviously, it is hidden from their eyes. They cannot comprehend or grab a hold of the idea that God would judge the world spiritually. It just goes right beyond them. They cannot see it or hear it. And yet it is fully in keeping with how God has written the Bible, fully in keeping with how God has brought prior judgments to pass. And yet they do not understand, and so they will speak evil of it, as the Lord says in 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, he says in verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You see, here's the whole problem. Here's the whole point of controversy between God's people that are in the Spirit and those that think they're God's people, profess they're God's people, but they're in the flesh. They're natural minded. God's people are spiritually minded because God has given them that mind and His Spirit indwells them. And so God's people understand the mystery again and again as they study the Bible. Oh, here's some more truth. Here's some more information coming forth. And those that are not truly born again, not of the Spirit, yet think they're God's people, they hear it and they don't understand it. It's not given to them. And time after time, you'll find they begin to speak evil of the things they understand not. The end of the church age. Are you kidding me? Don't you see that Jesus said that He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? What did they do there? They took that verse naturally. They don't understand the church in view is the eternal church. That's the hidden truth concerning that scripture. And they don't understand it. And therefore they begin to speak evil because they think, well, these heretics, they're making charges against God's church when really the fault lies at their feet for failing to understand how God wrote the Bible, for failing to comprehend the mystery of the kingdom of God, and that leaves them outside of the kingdom, and it leaves them just not able to believe the church age is ended. And just so many points. It must be or must have been terrible for individuals associated with the faithful ministry of family radio for so many decades, and to hear Mr. Camping teaching the spiritual meaning as he would do his Bible studies, and the spiritual meaning of so many verses, and maybe a man married to a true believer, and the man in the church was forced due to his the circumstances of his family to have to listen to that, and he never got it. He never understood it. And it always frustrated him and angered him. And he would speak evil of the things he was hearing. And that's just the way that it is. God is the one who has sent this sword, the sword of His word. And God's the one who has graciously and mercifully opened up the ears of His people alone to understand these things. And so God's people have to be patient and kind and gentle, and not strive and not argue and not fight with those that fail to get it. They fail to see the mystery, the hidden truth, whether it be the end of the church age or judgment day occurring on May 21 or just a simple spiritual meaning of any verse. God's people have to realize, only God can open up someone's eyes. Only God can give that understanding of the mysteries of His kingdom.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.